cut my own hair, which the back, there's a lot going on here that I'm not proud of, but luckily.
Yeah, you can't fade the back. So I'm very confused as to how that would look.
I tried. But again, I got to interview Dr. Fauci yesterday while in my underwear. So like, I'm all about the public only seeing what they need to see.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitard. That's Pablo Torre. He's nude underneath that box. That's Elle Duncan. She's not. She's totally clothed. Let's get started.
Correct.
I should fix this.
The NBA is back. What are your expectations for the games tonight?
Clippers at Lakers tonight, and by at Lakers, I mean in Orlando where everybody is, and also Zion returns. You asked me this question about baseball a week ago, and my answer was about hope, about normalcy, about getting something that felt different than the last 4 or 5 months have felt like, and that is what I'm getting from tonight as well. Pablo's answer here last week on the question of baseball returning was he's here for the rubbernecking. He's here for what's happened with the Marlins and the Phillies, where you're going to get disasters on a lot of occasions if you're outside the bubble. But as it relates to the NBA, what you need to be watching here, if you have any hope for the NFL whatsoever, the NBA is the one setting the model. They have gotten the zero positive tests. I am hopeful that what we can see is people play basketball and it is normal. Nobody has any positive tests and the bubble works a little bit better than maybe when we were being cynical about it.
Yeah, the NBA tonight, Dan, feels like a big tub of like non-dairy ice cream. It says zero next to cholesterol, which gives me a big guilt-free kind of vibe. But I'm sure there are other things downstream if I look closer into the nutritional information that I'll regret sort of gorging on. But in the time being, I'm super excited. I mean, I love basketball. I unabashedly love basketball. When I talked to Fauci on the podcast, he loves it too. I mean, one of the things I was looking for him, because he's like the national scold and not just our national conscience of the pandemic, is how good can we feel about sports coming back? And his point is, when it comes to a bubble, which is what he's advised, yes, like this is a good faith effort that has succeeded. And we can all take comfort in that because sports provide that. My whole thing is, I just hope that Zion realizes the pressure on him, because we gerrymandered districts to get the Pelicans into the bubble. All these games right now are really only happening before the playoffs because of him. I hope he lives up to that insane and hopefully not dangerous level of expectation.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Zion front. The idea that he might not even play tonight is probably giving the NBA suits some fits. But I would say that, like, in the same way that his sort of college season was hijacked by Zion Williamson, I'm all in on looking at what Ja Morant is able to do, because he is very close to joining Michael Jordan and Elgin Baylor territory, being the only rookie. He would be the third to lead a team in points and assists to the playoffs. I'm also looking at how the next couple of months play out in terms of free agency, because yes, I'm that person that looks so far ahead to 2021. Like, do the Bucks have to win to keep Giannis in Milwaukee? And to your point, I'm also really interested to see how this bubble, which is currently working, has its apple cart tipped potentially when families can come, because that is on its way as well. After the first round, people are allowed to bring their families, girlfriends, families and girlfriends back into the bubble. And I'm really interested to see if the NBA is willing to start treading in that dangerous water, knowing that right now they are the example of how you're supposed to get a restart done.
But that is such a long range concern, Elle. Like, part of me is just like, I want to hear some hot takes. Dan, I was on Twitter yesterday. I saw Skip Bayless tweet, "Why is LeBron's beard gray? Tune in." And I'm like, yes, yes. Nature is healing. Tonight, we're going to get LeBron takes that don't make any sense. And that is the greatest comfort that the sport can provide me, arguably.
One of the things that's amazing about what we're talking about is the return to some kind of sports normalcy that we as a country don't deserve because of how we've been around this pandemic. Not only gives us the gift of tonight, but it gives you possibly the gift of tonight that LeBron is playing and Kawhi is playing and Paul George is playing. And they're not the ones that you're tuning in to watch, because Zion might be playing.
Should the Ravens sign Antonio Brown because Lamar Jackson wants them to?
I do not have a catalog here committed to memory on the library of times that Elle Duncan and Pablo Torre on this show have been asked about Antonio Brown to this team or that team or that team or that team. the preface always needs to be on this one. He's being investigated by the NFL. He's going to have to serve a long suspension. So any excitement you have about him has to wait a while. But of course, if Lamar Jackson is advocating for something as the centerpiece of that offense, and if he is related to Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver, he'd be supplanting as the number one guy, who has been saying for a while that he would like Antonio Brown there. More weapons is what you want. Baltimore is plenty dangerous without Antonio Brown. They'd be even more dangerous with him.
They were plenty dangerous for sure. And based on what they do in that Roman offense, they don't necessarily need a stout receiving core. And they certainly didn't have one last year. I think they had around 1,400 yards all told as a receiving group, the lowest since the 2011 Jaguars. On the one hand, I'd say, yeah, it's worked for the Ravens in the past, right? Like, they took Anquan Boldin years past his prime and were able to get a good few years out of him. He really helped them key to that Super Bowl win and decided to retire as a Raven. But yes, there is, of course, the inevitable that Antonio Brown will be suspended. But I actually think the opposite is why you don't go for him, because he's related to Hollywood Brown. Because what if this thing doesn't go well? What if he has another acrimonious split with the Ravens, just like he did with the Patriots and the Raiders? Do you really want to risk the relationship that you have with Hollywood Brown, an opportunity the Ravens have rarely had, which is really build from within the organization to draft someone and develop them? Do you want to put that at risk for something so incredibly short term? I'm not sure that the risk is worth the reward.
Yeah, it's not worth the reward, but this is so incredibly awkward, because this has been a campaign that Lamar Jackson and Hollywood Brown have been mounting for a while now. And when Ravens officials, the owner, the GM, people in their front office, whenever they are asked point blank about Antonio Brown, they won't even say his name out loud. They refuse to do it. And part of that is because the guy is about to be suspended, addicted to his cell phone, a lot to get in trouble for various reasons, both whimsical and serious. But it's also, remember, because this is the organization that acutely remembers Ray Rice. When we talk about sexual assault, when we talk about domestic violence, these are things that front office remembers so vividly. And to their credit, they're especially hesitant about welcoming a Pandora's box that has any whiff of the issues that they used to deal with.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I love the NBA. Basketball is my favorite sport. But they didn't need this. They didn't need to be in Northwest China. They didn't need to be in China at all. What they did, though, was want it. Because there are giant dollar signs all over that part of the globe. The NBA, like so many corporations in America, see the world as a risk board, as territories to plant a flag in and conquer and profit off of.
Highly Questionable, presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach. Should the NBA end its academy program in China?
All right, I was proud of ESPN because I believe that the entire sports media has done a very poor job of covering the relationship between the NBA and China and American companies in China and the sacrifices that are made in the name of capitalism that are often human rights sacrifices that are appalling. And so what you have in this story from ESPN.com is that in a region of China that is particularly not free, of course, a country that is entirely not free, but in a region that has the largest concentration of religious-related enslavement since the Holocaust. These were three government-run camps the NBA partnered with. And this is a fairly common way of teaching in China with abuses, but it's strange that the NBA would have any kind of relationship in terms of trying to discover the next Yao Ming by putting one of its academies in a region of China that invites this kind of journalism and invites this kind of skepticism. I'm the son of exiles. All of these relationships make me uneasy. And the way that the NBA particularly has handled it has seemed particularly weak, even with LeBron James having what I believe to be his worst public moment as an athlete because he took the wrong side talking just about Daryl Morey in general and free speech.
Yeah, these are complicated issues. I mean, these are things involving names like Uyghurs, the Muslim minority you referenced, Dan, that are hard to pronounce and spell. This is a far off land. I understand all of this, but the clarity in this story is worth celebrating and acknowledging and discussing, because what is happening in Northwest China is a series of human rights abuses and atrocities. So you have these kids in these camps who are being physically abused, child abuse, within the basketball context with the NBA logo on all of this. That's worrisome. You add then the fact that, yes, as many as a million Uyghurs are in concentration camps where there are forced sterilizations, forced abortions, and on down the line in terms of horrifying facts, it's especially insane. And it's insane for this reason. I love the NBA. Basketball is my favorite sport. But they didn't need this. They didn't need to be in Northwest China. They didn't need to be in China at all. What they did, though, was want it. Because there are giant dollar signs all over that part of the globe. The NBA, like so many corporations in America, see the world as a risk board, as territories to plant a flag in and conquer and profit off of. Except in this case, they didn't do the homework. They outsourced it to the government of China, which we need to look so hard at when we consider what kind of business relationship and partnership are we entrusting them with and entering ourselves.
All of us have been to NBA games or were at NBA games when Yao Ming was playing. And I remember looking around and seeing 2 hours before the game, an entire faction of Chinese fans in the stands just waiting for a glimpse of him and thinking, oh my gosh, they are going to run with this. And that's exactly what they're trying to do, right? $5 billion at stake or whatnot. But again, you mentioned why there hasn't been more, I would say, fervor or anger over what's happening in China. It's because relatively, it's been something that Americans can't digest. It's not palatable. You're talking about extradition. You're talking about conflict between Hong Kong and China and what that actually looks like, autonomy. It's so boring for a tabloid society that likes more salacious headlines, right? But the imagery that this article from ESPN paints is something that even we have to fully understand. One former league employee described it as World War II Germany. Nobody can turn a blind eye to that. But again, it becomes about oversight. That's what happens when you license your name out or when you franchise something out and then you expect them to self-govern. It's ungovernable. You have nothing to do with China and the way that they see things. They are very different culturally. They are very different in terms of how they see corporal punishment being levied out. So this was, I think, so narrow-minded when it came to the NBA, assuming that they would be able to just put their name on something, turn a blind eye, turn their nose up, and allow them to self-police. And now they're finally figuring out that this was a mistake, which is why they had to close these academies. But for the idea that the NBA, who is at least domestically sort of stood for, you know, been the bastion for human rights, for equality, much to the critics' dismay, because they throw Hong Kong and China in their face, to be able to say that they associated with something that is so clearly child abuse, if you will, is just, the optics are terrible. And they obviously had to pull out, but you wonder how much more is going to happen before they decide that the relationship with China is just not tenable.
Yeah, Dan, we can bring this back to the Josh Hawley letter, right? The thing that ESPN got embroiled in, the thing that pointed out all of these alleged hypocrisies about the NBA. And at the time, I said, there is truth underneath what Josh Hawley was saying. This is that truth. It comes wrapped, of course, in a very familiar, what about Chicago kind of flavor, right? It's used only to distract away from concerns domestically and score political points for many of the supporters who boosted Josh Hawley's message. But there is truth there nonetheless. And when you think about what the NBA's stated mission has been globally, they've said, we are doing this hoping to export our values, what Elle mentioned, equality, human rights, standing against police brutality. But what's very clear is that they're not being imported in China. You may be trying to signal it in whatever way, but it's not taking. And more than that, we run the risk of importing those values to America. And what I mean by that, it is important for LeBron James to talk about this. It's important because he is a profiteer from this business model, right? And when you take the lens and you zoom out even more and you think to yourself, okay, we're talking about corporations that are outsourcing the oversight of young employees and workers. Well, what are those working conditions like? Well, that's the story of sneaker manufacturing, technology manufacturing. This is not uncommon in China. And if you are profiting off of this, it does behoove you to have a little bit moral clarity, even if you run the risk of feeding the critics who simply want to call you a hypocrite.
Forgive me, guys. My things were saying low battery the entire time and then went out. So I was listening intently, but I couldn't hear anything anyone was saying.
Hi,
Highly Questionable is presented by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Do you question if Ocho Cinco really took Viagra before every game?
As a performance enhancer, not the customary performance enhancer that it's used as. Let's see what we have here from Ocho Cinco in the way of tweets on this subject. He says, among other things, Viagra before every game. People thought they'd stop me. If my stat line was bad, I wasn't covered. The pass was just incomplete. I don't know how it is that Viagra would in any way help you in this regard. NFL test for steroids. How are you going to stop me running on three legs every Sunday? No hat. Okay, that was more than I needed, in all honesty. None of you have heard of this as a performance enhancer, no?
No, I have. Dan, I am the son of a man, the LeBron James of Filipino urologists, who can prescribe Viagra. So I asked my dad this morning, like, is this a thing? And he said that apparently there are some studies that have alleged that improved pulmonary circulation would be a consequence of Viagra. And then I asked him, like, so is this super dangerous? And he said, quote, I'm going to read this quote here, I would say not dangerous unless you consider a hard-on during the game dangerous.
Oh, there you go.
So okay, that's the first time I ever heard my dad say that phrase. So
okay, and we could have all done without ever hearing your dad say that phrase. Elle, what do you have here?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be hard for Ocho Cinco because it's going to make his opportunity to get to the Hall of Fame much harder, despite the fact that you know he certainly has stiff competition.
Here she goes.
And his resume is rock solid. But I'm undoubtedly waiting for the dudes who are going to break down film study to see if they could specifically spot when Ocho Cinco had a third leg up on his competition.
Wait, first off, that was masterful. Second off, what I'm realizing now is that, like, whether or not anyone else took Viagra, the NFL is kind of a sport where anybody could have plausibly taken Viagra based on how they behave when they get on the field. Like, it feels like a sport where everyone's just ramped up with all of hormones and testosterone available to them. So, yeah, it doesn't seem that strange, actually.
That segment really could have ended just with all of Elle's puns. It didn't need you souring her joke with your...
Your low-hanging fruit.
What? Wow.
See, wow. She saved you again. You put a bunch of boring in there, and she saved you with some low-hanging fruit.
Tonight at 9:40 p.m., Dodgers and Diamondbacks.
All right, what a wonderful, amazing mess here we get to cover again as it involves Dodger pitcher Joe Kelly. You remember the Astros did all that cheating, and nobody was suspended for any amount of time for any of that cheating that plays for the Astros. Joe Kelly decides to get retaliation here by just throwing baseballs at people, some of them intentionally, some of them not intentionally. Joe Kelly comes off the mound at one point during this game and just spits at Carlos Correa. And he now gets 8 games because baseball has vowed to punish these guys severely. And so you get this weird situation where Joe Kelly, who didn't even play for the Dodgers last year, who was on a different cheater, the Boston Red Sox, is avenging the Dodgers for losing to the Astros because the Astros were cheating. And Joe Kelly is a bit of a hero and also someone who's getting more punishment than any of the cheating Astros. So I don't know if this escalates tonight. The Astros are going to have to continue eating some of this kind of disrespect. Pablo, are you intrigued here?
I am intrigued, super guiltily and super hypocritically intrigued, because yes, that is super dangerous, throwing 90 miles an hour at a skull, violating all this protocol, but it reminds me of the cardinal rule of justice. If you don't like the guy who is on the receiving end of all that stuff, it's totally fine. We are totally cool to laugh at frontier justice if the guy receiving it is actually the kind of bleep hole that we don't like. And in this case, I'm one of those people who thinks the Astros kind of had it coming.
Elle, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I had a chance actually to cover Joe Kelly a little bit. And by the way, the reason that he's also mad is because those cheating Astros beat those cheating Red Sox in order to cheat their way to the World Series. But I actually covered Joe Kelly a little bit when I was with the Red Sox and met him. And let me tell you, like, that dude is like the number one instigator. Like, if he wasn't pitching in MLB, he'd be at the skate park and his Skechers like starting ish, because that's kind of what he is. He's basically Jay Cutler and Stussy. But I love this because he has endeared himself to the entire league. Like, no one's going to feel sorry for the cheating Astros. They escaped the booing fans. They escaped those uncomfortable questions from the media because of the pandemic. So now they're going to have to take their medicine.
And he gets elected into the Hall of Memes. That's what we're really talking about here. Joe Kelly's faces. That alone is the win for all time. And yeah, Carlos Correa, just by comparison, just even sadder than you thought he might be.
We are out of time. L. Duncan, if you want some more L. Duncan in your life, and who doesn't, SportsCenter, check her out. And Pablo Torre, you don't want any more of his.
Dan, do you have a Joe Kelly face in you? Can you give us your best?
Like, let's see here. My face is a little swollen for that. His is a... It's more my De Niro face, really.
Yeah,
it really is.